Well, once again, good morning. My name is Mark, and it's a joy to be with you today as we worship and glorify our great God together. As Paul said earlier, today is our Missions Sunday, and we celebrate what God is doing among us through the members and the friends of Union Church. And so there's a lot of activity in the back there in Holman Hall, and I'm excited for you to get to see these different tables and booths of what God's up to. There's a lot of people among us who are really out there loving their neighbors, sharing the gospel, and it's just great to be able to see that today. I'm so proud of our church to embrace and to celebrate missions today. So thank you all for being here. Our guests, thank you for being here. Today we're taking a short break from our sermon series on the life of David, and we're going to look today from Scripture at the impulse for mission. And our text is a very well-known and probably a familiar text to most of you today. It comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 20. All right, so I'm going to read that right now. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day to come into your presence, to worship you, just like that scripture said. They came to Jesus and they worshiped him. And we come to worship you, God. And Father, we just pray today that as we look at your word, as we celebrate the mission going on around us, that we would see you clearly, that we would be drawn more and more to you, that we would feel this impulse for mission and be obedient to it. Father God, today I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For indeed you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, throughout the Gospel of Matthew, one of the things that you see is that whenever you find Jesus on a mountain, you can expect a rich theological moment to come, right? Matthew's Gospel, it's interesting. He seems to like the imagery to represent the content, okay? So for Matthew, when Jesus is on a mountain, you're going to get some deep theological content. We see that, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, or in the story of the Transfiguration. These are deep theological moments that happen on the mountaintop. I guess Jesus likes these mountaintop experiences, right? And here today, we find ourselves once again with Jesus on a mountaintop, right? So we're witnessing Jesus on the mountaintop with his disciples. He has told them that after he rose from the dead, he says, "Go to Galilee," right? "I'm going to meet you there on the mountain." And so we're on the mountain in Galilee. And there he's going to give his disciples kind of some final words, some words of encouragement, some final marching orders, if you will. And so we're on the mountain with Jesus. But there is something different about this moment. It is a mountaintop moment with Jesus. It is a deep theological moment, but it is different than the others because now this is the risen Lord Jesus. He has died and been buried, then he has risen from the grave, and this is the risen Christ with them. And so, in a sense, his mission on earth has been completed. Death has been defeated. The grave has been conquered. But there's still work to do. Right, the world is still a broken place. Jesus had promised that one day he would come again, He would come again to make all things right and new and wonderful, to bring peace and justice. But until that day, I can only imagine that the disciples were wondering, like, well, where are you, Jesus? How are we to do this, Jesus? Right? How are you still going to be at work in the world? And of course, we are living in what you might call the intermission, right? We are living in the in-between times. We're living in what some call the already and the not yet, right? Jesus' kingdom, it has been consummated, but it has not been fully completed. And so we're living in this kind of in-between time. And here at the end of Matthew, here Jesus takes this moment on the mountaintop with his disciples, right? And he's inviting them, but y'all, he's also inviting us, right? You can kind of put yourself into the story there. He's inviting them, but he's inviting all of us to be a part of the work that he is doing in the world in this in-between time in which we live. Now, many refer to this passage. You know the name of this passage? What is this called? The Great Commission, right? Many refer to this as the Great Commission. I don't know, maybe somebody refers to it as something else, but that's what I've always heard. The Great Commission, right? This is a Great Commission. It's the passage that, you know, many churches will base their mission upon, their mission statement upon, right? And it's certainly a great place upon which to base your mission, right? If you're not sure what else to do, you know, base it upon this. You won't go wrong. It is the calling of the church. And it is the mission of Jesus. So Jesus says to them, to the disciples, in verse 18, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gives his disciples a mission. And you know what? You're not accepted from it. Jesus gives his church. He gives you and me a mission as well. Now, from the passage, the first thing we see about Jesus is that his mission is for his people. His vision is for his church, that his work would continue in the world. And what we see from this passage is that the mission of the church is founded upon the authority of Jesus, right? All authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So the mission of the church is based upon the authority of Jesus. And y'all, it is not based upon the ability of his people, okay? So the mission of the church, based upon the authority of Jesus, not upon the ability of his people, right? Can breathe a sigh of relief. It's not based on our ability. Then you look again at verse 18, he says, all authority, right? All authority has been given to me. And then we get this, this therefore, right? Therefore go, right? Whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, do you know what you have to ask? You have to ask, I wonder what that is there for, right? It's the best joke I got today, sorry. See a therefore. What is it there for? Because a therefore, it connects what follows it to what came before it. Right? So Jesus is giving us a command. He's giving us a mission. He's inviting us to be part of something bigger than ourselves, right? A work that is continuing in the world. But he bases it not on our ability. I mean, some of you are pretty high performing, but like even so, it's not based on our ability. It's based on his authority, right? So he's connecting this therefore go with what comes before it, which is his authority. That's what the therefore is there for. Okay, all right. So he's giving us this command, this mission. He's inviting us to be part of this, not based on our ability, but on his authority. Now, I've often looked at this passage, and when I look at this passage, I mean, in fact, we read this a few weeks ago when we had a baptism, and we just read verses 18 through 20, like that's the Great Commission. We look at this, 18 through 20, that's it. This morning I decided to go back a couple of verses, and we read all of 16 through 20 to kind of get a little bit of a bigger context for this passage. And you know, to be honest, I've wondered before about this verse 17. It's a little puzzling, right? So they're there, they meet Jesus on the mountain. Verse 17 says, they saw the risen Christ and they worshiped him. That makes sense. But some doubted. Some doubt, like, why is this in here? Right before the Great Commission. Some doubted. They saw the risen Christ, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They're worshiping, but I don't know, you know. Some were worshiping. They understood this is the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ is most certainly worthy of worship, right? And so they're meeting the resurrected Jesus on the mountain where like these deep theological things happen. They're worshiping him. But then from there, they're worshiping, but you know, they're like, well, I mean, he was dead. We saw his body put in the tomb. Dead people don't usually like become live people. So there was some doubt. And I guess that's a normal human thing. Some doubted because normally dead people aren't then alive. And Matthew, I think he included this verse. I think he included this little nugget here. Some doubted, just again to remind us of this very thing. This is not based, the mission of the church, based upon the perfection of our faith. Because we worship Jesus, and I'm sure we have our doubts too at times, right? We're not perfect in our faith. The mission of the church is not based upon the perfection of our faith or the perfection of our worship, you know, or the perfection of our ability to, you know, share the gospel or, you know, the perfection of our Christian life. I mean, if it's based upon these things, well, it's never going to happen. It's based rather upon the authority of Jesus and not the ability of his followers. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Therefore, go and make disciples. So the mission of the church, grounded in the authority of Jesus. But not only that, the mission of the church is grounded in making disciples. Making disciples. Now the passage says, go and make disciples. But I think what it's really telling us is, make disciples as you are going. Hear me out, all right? Because I know this isn't the way we normally think about this. Hear me out. The force of the command comes from the verbs. And the main verb in this passage is to make. Make disciples. That's the main verb, right? The word to go, or the verb to go, is like the secondary verb in this sentence. I think this is kind of interesting, right? It's like this. It's like if I told you this morning, I said, we need eggs. We need to get some eggs, right? That's the main thing. We need to get some eggs. That's the main thing we need to do, right? So then if you're going to do it, well, you got to go somewhere, right? You can go to the supermarket. You can go to the tienda on the corner. You can go to some neighbor's house to try to get some eggs. But the main thing is that we need to get some eggs, right? We're out of eggs, right? So that's kind of how this passage is, right? The main force is to make disciples. The mission of the church is to make disciples, right? Make disciples as you are going, right? You might have to go somewhere to make some disciples. So make disciples as you are going. Now, as human beings, it's easy for us to begin to view the mission of the church as something we go and do. But I think what's really happening here is that Jesus is inviting us. He is inviting us to be a part of something. It's something he's already doing, right? He's inviting us to be a part of something he is already doing, to be on mission with him, to make disciples as you are going, right? As you are going, brothers and sisters, as you are going throughout your day, make disciples, right? As you are going throughout your week, as you are going through the ordinary things of your life, you're going to work, you're going to school, whatever it is, if you're going to a different part of the world, which is wonderful that many people do, make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. That is the mission of the church. And a disciple, of course, is a follower. A disciple is a follower, someone who is willing to follow Jesus, to commit their life to walk with Jesus, to obey Jesus' commands and teachings. Someone whose chief desire in life is to bring glory to Jesus. That is a disciple, right? That's what the mission of the church is about. That's what God's mission is, right? It's not so much that you have to go somewhere. I mean, you can, and it's wonderful if you do, but you don't have to go somewhere. Jesus he's inviting us on this mission, right? Just as you go through your life, as you're going, right? Make disciples just as you're going through your life, wherever that may be. Make disciples from the people you meet. Make disciples from the family you've been given. Make disciples from the places you go, from your school, from your work, from your neighborhood, the people you run into. Make disciples as you are going. Now, the identity of Jesus is the foundation of the church, right? But not only that, the identity of the church is to be followers, is to be disciples. And so Jesus is inviting us into his mission in the world to make disciples as you are going. I'll tell you a story. I was traveling earlier this year in January. I traveled up to the States, and while I was on my trip, I had to make a flight connection, and I was in Dallas, the airport in Dallas, and it was before the flight, not too long before the flight, so I was in the waiting area there right at the gate. And, well, my wife gives me a hard time about this because, like, she's like, oh, wherever you go, you, like, meet people. You talk to people, right? So I'm at the gate. There's a guy sitting next to me. We get to talking. We're just talking about whatever, you know, this and that. And then it comes up, you know, it's a typical question, like, what do you do? I say, well, I'm a pastor. Well, what kind of church? So I tell him about our, tell him about our church, right? So we're talking about that. And then he tells me, he says, well, you know, I recently became a Christian, right? I recently, like, received Christ. It's like, that's awesome, you know? What a great, I mean, this conversation's going awesome. And I'm like, tell me about it. I want to hear all about it. How did you become a Christian? And so the guy tells me this. It was a really funny story. He says, well, I like to eat in this restaurant. And it's this restaurant, I don't know if it's outside of the States, but in the States, it's called Buffalo Wild Wings. Anybody know that? Buffalo, it's like, you know, Alitas, like, you know, chicken wings. I like to eat at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I always go to the same Buffalo Wild Wings. And I go there, and there's this waitress there, and when I go, she's always my waitress. And every time I go, she waits on me, and we just talk about things. We talk about things going on in our life and whatnot. And he says, I've been going to this same restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings, for many years, and she's been a waitress there for many years. And he said, every once in a while, I'll go to the restaurant, and she'll wait on me, and then she'll invite me to go to her church. And he says, I always thought church was like for really religious people, so it's not for me. So I never took it seriously. I never went to her church. But he said, this waitress that would wait on me, he said she was very persistent. And she would, you know, continue to invite me to her church. And then he said it was getting to be Christmas time, and she invited me to her church because she was involved in the music program of her church, and they were having a special Christmas concert, and so she invited me to this special Christmas concert. And he said, well, you know, it wasn't like normal church, so I went to the concert. And he said, I was amazed at how friendly everyone was and how welcoming everyone was. And, like, they were like normal people like me, and so I went back to church, and I continued to go back, and I began to learn about the gospel of Jesus, and then I became a Christian. I believed on Jesus. I became a follower of Jesus. And then, just about that time, like, we're boarding the plane, conversation's over. But it was a great story about how this guy came to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. And I love that story. You know, eating that Buffalo Wild Wings. Who would have thought, right? That's probably not in any church's, like, strategic plan, right? We're going to make disciples at Buffalo Wild Wings. Anyway, it worked there. And what really struck me about the story was this waitress, right? Because she's just doing her job. She just has a job to do, go to the restaurant, work, wait tables, serve people beer and chicken wings, right? She's just going through the everyday, ordinary stuff of her life. But she was fulfilling the mission of Jesus, right? Make disciples as you are going. Just through her life. Just with the people she encountered. Just with this guy that God put in front of her at Buffalo Wild Wings, right? And that mission, that is the mission of the church. And brothers and sisters, that is our mission, to make disciples wherever we're going, to make disciples out of the people that God puts into your path. And it might be about going somewhere, but it might just be about fulfilling the mission of Jesus where you are. So then back to the text, Jesus continues, verse 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." So this is basically the summary of all the secondary clauses which describe what it means to make disciples, okay? So first he says, baptize them, right? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism, it's this experiential picture, right? It's this picture of being welcomed into a right relationship with God. And so he says the first thing, that's the thing. That's the first task. Make disciples and then baptize them. Welcome them into a right relationship with Jesus, right? That's our mission as a church. That's what we believe, right? We believe that Jesus is welcoming people into a relationship with him, a right relationship with him. Or maybe he's welcoming people back into a relationship with him. So the mission of the church is to help people find their way to God or find their way back to God, as it might be in some cases. And then, right, baptize them. And then to teach them to obey all the commandments of Jesus, right? Just to teach them to, to live the Christian life, to do the things that we do as Christians. So the church, it's just to say the church isn't just about converting people, right? Sometimes we use the language like, you got to make a decision, right? And make this decision to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. And I mean, there's a place for that, make that decision. That is a part of it. But sometimes we get hung up on, we got to make a decision. We had these people make a decision. But we don't need to get so caught up on people making a decision. We want to get caught up on people following Jesus, right? Right? Being baptized, obeying everything that he's commanded him, right? That's the meat of it. We don't want to merely have people decide, but we want people to follow. We want to make disciples. We want to teach them everything Jesus has commanded us. So the mission of the church, that means the mission of the church, it cannot go far from the Word of God. If teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded is like a big part of this, then it cannot go far from the Word of God, because that's what Jesus has commanded us, right? So at Union Church here, we're to be faithful to the mission God has given us. And to be faithful to the mission he has given us, we can't go far from his Word. We got to be like right there in his Word, right? His Word is where life is found for his followers. His Word is where the life of a disciple is found. So Jesus grounds the mission in his authority, not in our ability. And the mission is not necessarily focused on going somewhere, but it's focused on making disciples, right? Make disciples as you go. But not only that, Jesus doesn't just give us this mission, right, based on my authority, go and make disciples, and then say like, all right, there it is. Peace out, y'all. That's all she wrote. No. Now in verse 20, this is what he says. Verse 20, he says, surely I am with you always until the end of the age. So he doesn't just say, oh, there you go. It's all on you now. No, he says, I'm going to be present with you. He has promised his presence to his church. He has promised his presence to his people. He is going to be with us as we do this. He is going to empower us with his presence. Yeah, so where is Jesus today? I mean, by his Spirit, he is here. He is with us. Amen? Right? He has promised this. He is with us. Right? He's continuing his work of calling people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation to be his followers, to be his disciples. And he's invited the church to be a key part of that. That's why I love the local church. That's why the local church matters so much, because he's invited us to be a key part of his mission, right? He's invited us to live out this mission right here and right now. You know, even just in the ordinary times of our lives, like the waitress at Buffalo Wild Wings, to live out his mission right here and right now. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are going. And by his presence, he is empowering the church to continue his work in the world today. It's a work of calling people to follow him, whatever the cost, wherever you may be, because he's still at work in the world today. So, today, the mission of the church is grounded and the authority of Jesus. It is empowered by the presence of Jesus. And it is focused on making followers of Jesus. There's a lot of things we can get distracted on, right? But this is the point of the passage. This is the heart of the Great Commission. Now, what a wonderful Sunday to talk about this, right? Mission Celebration Sunday, amen? Right? What a great day to talk about these things. And just as we finish up, say once again, thank you to all of you who have come here to share about what you're doing. And I just pray it will inspire us, it will encourage us, it'll fire us up to make disciples as we are going. All right, so after the service, So after the service, y'all make sure you spend some time in Holman there, look at what's going on, see the ways you might can even get involved. All right? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you again for giving us a mission as your church. We thank you that you have chosen us to continue your work among us in the world today. We pray that you'll continue to empower us by your word, by your authority, and by your Spirit to make disciples whose hearts long for you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.